is the EWN Podcast Network.
I'm a boss. A beauty boss.
Beauty Boss Network.
Hey, Beauty Boss, and welcome back to another episode of the Beauty Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Brianna Day, and the CEO of Beauty Boss Network, your go-to resource to find everything that you need to help you break out, fall out, and blossom into the beauty boss of your dreams.
Beauty Boss Network.
Today's guest is a really good friend of mine who I am honestly just honored to call a friend. She's so inspiring and such an entrepreneur beauty boss, from being one of the top makeup artists in Hollywood, working on television sets, winning and being nominated for several Emmys, as well as developing her own very prestigious product line, which has some really exciting things in store. I cannot wait to talk to Melanie a little bit more about. So I'm so excited to introduce her to you. Melanie Mills, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank
you. How are you?
I'm good. Just still recovering. We've had an amazing week and, you know, got to spend some time with you earlier. So I'm still feeling really full from all of that. And just after such an inspiring panel, I was like, I have to have you on the podcast. So I'm really glad that you could carve out some time to chat with us.
Well, thank you. No problem.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Well, I always like to kind of kick things off on the podcast. You know, it's always inspiring to see somebody that's really kicking butt in the industry, but I am always most inspired to kind of figure out where it is that you got started. So can you tell us, what was your first ever job?
My first ever makeup job was on a film called When Billy Met Bobby, which was a film with Ron Silver and Holly, I'm so bad with names, Hunter. That was my first big union job. But my first job was this non-union film, and the names changed a few times, and I'm completely blanking on it. It was basically, gosh, I'm so sorry. But anyways, what happened was I had been living and traveling through Europe. So I had the blessing to be able to go to Italy and go to school there for a year. And
wow.
While I went to that school, which was the Università di Firenze per Stranieri, I met a ton of Europeans and became best friends with a ton of them, mostly Icelandic and Danish, actually, that I became really good friends with. And so after that year of living in Europe, I would come home for 3 months and waitress. I actually used to waitress at Acapulco restaurant.
Wow.
And so I would waitress there for 3 months, like collect and save all my money. And then I'd go back to Europe and literally travel and couch surf for 3 months. And on one of those trips, I was visiting some Icelandic friends in Milan that were living there going to interior design school. And this guy named Kerkton, his girlfriend was a model, but like wanted to take some makeup classes as like a side thing in case, you know, the modeling thing didn't work out or whatever. And so she wasn't yet there. And so he's like, come with me because I got to go make the final payment at the school she's going to go to. And I was always somebody who was doing like all my friends' makeup and stuff for like, you know, dances and clubs. And, you know, we'd get ready at my house. My one friend, Ken, always did the hair, and I happened to always just kind of do the makeup. There was never really a goal or a thought. And then, you know, I also used to really be into like, you know, trying to do like music videos or runway shows, like, and I'd get everybody in the block together. I think it was more of a passion, actually, of wanting to, like, produce and direct than kind of make up, because I kind of just had the skill went with it. And so I went with him, and we walked into this old, it used to be like a nunnery, and it was this amazing church in the middle of Milan. And we walk in, and it happened to be the school's finale. So all the students were, like, showing off their best work. And I just literally was like, oh, you can make money doing makeup. like, oh my God. I had actually gone to school in Italy and was learning to be a interpreter. It really, I just needed to live in Italy, and I needed an excuse, and I thought, I'll be an interpreter. I thought that would be like a cool career until I found out that like most interpreters worked in really boring situations like courts and doctor's office, you know, stuff like that. So it was not for me. I walked into this place and just was shocked and just in awe. And honestly, yes, first thought was, wow, I can make money doing makeup. Second thought was, this is another amazing excuse to come and move and live in Italy. And so I actually put down a down payment. They accepted me. And I came home, and I was, like, talking to my great-grandma, who was my everything and who was also funding a lot of my excursions, trips, schooling. And I told her about it, and she was like, you know what? No, not into it. And I was shocked. I was just like, what? And she's just like, you know, the entertainment business is so hard on women. So I come from a family in the business of Hollywood, managers, dancers, actors, and all of that. And so, you know, she was just like, no, it's a really hard business for women. I don't think this is the route you should go. We just spent all this money on you becoming an interpreter. You know, what happened to that? So I was a little blown away and a little bummed out. And no joke, one or two or three days later, I'm at my hairdresser's and I'm telling her the story. And I was just like, man, and I almost was there. I almost could have done that. Now I need to figure this out because I kind of have this idea and passion to go for it. And she's like, you should talk to my best friend, roommate. She's a local 706 makeup artist. And maybe she can help you. And literally, I'm not joking you, that night I happened to be at a bar that they happened to walk into. It was not planned. And it was one of those things where it's like, oh my God, this is a friend I was telling you about that I wanted to introduce you to. And we started talking and then, you know, exchanged numbers. And then, no joke, two or three days later, she called me and said, I just got offered an internship on a film and I think you should take it. And I was like, what? Yeah. So I was completely freaked out and scared and didn't want to do it. And she said, come on, I'll drive you down there. You know, she really actually kind of had to be like, you can do this. I was like, I've never been to school. I've never been on set. I'm freaking out. And so she's like, they are so desperate for somebody just to like swap sweat, you know, on the set and powder. You know, I think you should take this opportunity. And she drove me down there, and I walked in the trailer, and the girls asked me what my sign was. And I guess being an Aquarian got me the job. So nice. That's the beginning of it all.
Nice. That's so funny. I, like, love that because I always get asked that everybody gets down with astrology in the business, so you better have the right answer.
Yeah.
So how did you prepare for that? Did you just go, just ignorance on fire, like, I'm going to do this? Did you pull a kit together? Did you have a kit? Like, what did you do?
I did not have a kit whatsoever. I didn't even know what a kit would entail, to tell you the truth. Yes, I had some personal makeup that I would use on myself and my friends, but no, I had no idea. So they basically said you can start tomorrow, and your call time is 4:12 or 4:42, whatever it was. And I remember thinking, what the hell is that kind of, like, timing, you know?
Right. Random.
Later you find out that, like, in the business, we do everything in incremental minutes of six. And so, and we also do it in military time. So, for example, so that's why it was 12, because, you know, that's six times two. So anyways, I remember being shocked by that. And at the time I lived a good hour outside of Hollywood. And so I just said, oh, okay, I'm there. My friend said, just go and get yourself a tool belt. And I literally went to Home Depot and bought a tool belt, like literally like a construction worker's tool belt. And the friend that drove me down there didn't give me too much instruction on what to bring or do or gather. She dropped me off and I was very grateful. Her name was Michelle Warner, by the way. I don't know if she's still in the business, but amazing. And, Yeah, so I show up the next day in white short shorts with like a t-shirt of some sort, and I'm wearing platform high heels that have cherries all over them with my tool belt, like my construction worker's tool belt. Yeah. And so I got a really good laugh out of that one and quickly learned that that was the inappropriate way to dress, not to mention that day was a 16-hour day and those shoes were absolutely wrong. I was embarrassed, scared. It was horrible, but amazing at the same time. And so, you know, the girls were like, you know, they laughed hard with the tool belt. No, no, no. They gave me a little something and threw me in. And literally, though, they were so slammed. It was like a one hair and one makeup team doing this big film, or this film that was trying to be a big film, a non-union film. And they just threw me out there. Here's a puff with some powder on it. This is how you do it. And here's some tissues, and we just literally need you to make sure that these people aren't shiny or sweating. And it was a really hot day in LA, and we were on location, and I just did it. It was freaky. And I was working with some pretty big actors actually on that film. And then what happened is they ended up keeping me on, and it was a 6-week film that literally turned into a 4-month deal. And, I just learned from these girls. And the hairdresser, Lori Baker, then after that, I did go to a 6-week class at Sunset and Gower Makeup Academy, which was on the Gower Studio lot, which was amazing, to learn kind of the basics. But other than that, I learned from literally my peers and my mentors and just literally being there, being thrown into it and doing it. Okay. And this girl, Lori Baker, who is a makeup and hairdresser, but more, I think, a hairdresser, started taking me on all these low-budget films with PM Entertainment. And these were like 3 to 4 week films, kind of, they're called like guerrilla filmmaking. And she really taught me the ropes. I did this probably with her for about 2 years. And then she got the call to go to India for a film. So then I ended up taking over for her, which just kept leading into more and more things, basically. So it was a crazy, crazy ride.
That's so
but it
cool.
was so meant to be, you know, it was so meant to be. Everything really fell in my lap. I was very lucky. Now, lucky, yes, but I still worked very, 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 very hard. And, after about 3 years, when I had finally gathered all my hours to become union, because that was my goal, I then got the opportunity to lead a film called Lockdown with Master P. And it was on location, and it was a huge film about prison. And I had to deal with like 100 main actors and like hundreds of extras. And I had to do effects and, you know, fights, and I had to really be detailed with my tattoo work within all the different nationalities within prison. And that was an amazing film that took me to a different level, and that film ended up turning union, and that's how I became union.
Wow, that's interesting. So can you talk to me a little bit more about becoming union? Because I have so many people that I have coach or mentored, and that's their goal, is to become union, and I haven't done it. And it's one of those weird things where, from my understanding, it's like you have to work union jobs to get union like credits. I sound super ignorant right now, so can you kind of like what's like becoming union for dummies? Like, give me the rundown.
Okay, so anybody, by the way, can call their locals. There's 2 on the East Coast. I'm not sure of the number. I think it's like 198 or I'm not sure. But the one out here is called Local 706, and you can literally call the office, and they will completely give you any and every information that you need to in order to become union. But, you know, to become Union 101 for dummies, if you want to call it that, being union, a lot of people think that's what they want, but I got to tell you, it's not for everyone. Going union does not guarantee you work, okay? It's a whole new set of people that you have to network with and deal with. You have to, okay, for one, just on the quick, you don't have to work on union films to become union. You can work on any production from a commercial to a student film to whatever it is, as long as you're getting paid. I don't care if it's $25 a day or hourly. You need to make sure that you keep your call sheet, which is basically like a production. It gives you everything that's happening in the day and who's working, you know, in the day, just right. Quick one sheet notice of what's happening. So you want a call sheet and you need your paycheck to say makeup. So even if you're doing makeup and hair, make sure if you want to be in the hair union or if you want to be in the makeup, it's the same union, but you're one or the other, that your paycheck says one or the other, because if it says both, it won't qualify.
Oh.
And so the quick and easy on that is that, and it can be a commercial, it can be anything. It has to be a production, though, of some sort, and you have to get paid on it, no matter what it is, like I said, from 25 to hourly or whatever. And you have to collect 60 days in a year for 3 years within a five-year period. Okay, so that's one way of getting in.
Does that include still photography, or is this, like, exclusive?
No.
Okay, I thought so.
It has to be a production. It has to be film. It has to be television. It can be Netflix. It can be Amazon. It can be anything. It's got to be some sort of video, though. Still work is not included in that.
Good.
But again, do not take my words as Bible. Please call the union for further information.
Oh, you're Bible. You're so Bible right now.
Or the other way is that you are attached to a celebrity and you can prove to the union that you have done work with that celebrity, not just like one day or 2 days, that you've actually had a continual relationship with that person. And that person ends up on a job that is either union or turns union. That's the quick and easy, awesome way to get in.
Nice.
Or the other awesome and easy way to get in is that you are on a non-union film that happens to turn union. But you have to get 30 days on that in order to qualify. Then, okay, say you do go union. Then you're going to have to pay $6,000 to get in. And they give you a break by letting you pay half at first. And then you have, like, I think a year to pay the other half. Now, the cool thing about being in the union and what catches the eye to most people is that then that qualifies you to work on union projects, film, television, whatever that may be. And it qualifies you for pension and health insurance. Now, mind you, there's a catch with the health insurance because you have to gather, I believe, 600 hours to even get your health insurance. Once you get that health insurance, you have to maintain, I think it's 300 or 400 hours a quarter to maintain that health insurance. And it's one of the better health insurances in the country. And then, if that's the route you want to go, if your dream is to work on film and television, and I say you really should live on the East Coast or the West Coast, because, yes, there are small productions that happen across the country, but then there's like little clusters that really, really do a lot of work, like in Louisiana, and that's the main area, New Mexico. What was that, babe?
Atlanta, Georgia. Isn't that another one?
Okay. Yeah, Atlanta. Uh-huh. So Atlanta and, like, Louisiana are big hubs. They do a lot of work down there. New Mexico, they do a lot of work. And then there's other little pockets, okay? But if you're not in the loop in one of these pockets, it is a tough and brutal business to get into, okay? It is tough to get work even in LA and New York. Like I said, it's not guaranteed. Even though there's tons of work, right? In a way, you have to be good. You have to know what you're doing. But at the end of the day, in this business, it's who you know.
Oh, my God. Look at that. But there's a problem on my hip.
It's that time for a beauty blooper. Brought to you by CelebrityScience.com, making you the leading brand in your category.
So I'm doing Marion Ross from Happy Days, the mom.
Yeah.
On this little tiny film, and she wears a lace front wig, and the lace piece is like literally like a $10,000 wig. And it's this little mini indie film, and I'm supposed to be helping to glue down the, I'm doing hair and makeup, and I cannot do hair to save my flipping life. So I'm going to glue down this piece on her forehead, and I did not, oh God, this leads into two stories that I won't pick up at any time. But I did not put a cape on her, and so when I went to, I was gluing her forehead to this like lace piece, and I tilted my glue all over her crazy expensive silk top. And I was absolutely mortified, and thank God it wasn't wardrobe. And she literally was like, please, you are okay. Because I was like near tears. So there's been, oh, girl, that I could go on and on.
Be a boss. Did you get your boss network?
And this is why I love you, because you are just like real talk. Like, if you want to hear the truth, you go to Melanie Mills, because Melanie is not going to BS you on anything. And I've learned that. So this is really solid advice. And if you're trying to get into TV or film, trying to get into the union, like, you need to listen to what she's saying, because she knows what she's talking about. And to that point, I kind of want to fast forward from working and just getting started in the union and kind of your, how you kind of got into the industry, fast forwarding to your career with Dancing with the Stars, who you actually won an Emmy with. Is that, I got that right, right?
I did. It was
That's
awesome.
Amazing. So talk to me a little bit.
You want to just know how I got on the show, or?
Yeah, I want to hear about your experience with Dancing with the Stars. I also know that that's kind of where it birthed your line that you came out with, which kind of spun into a whole new career path for you. So what was it on that show? Tell me the story about how you really decided that this was a product that was needed and how you built it into being one of the top body makeup brands in the world.
Okay, so, you know, obviously I had already been working in the business for quite a while. I had built up relationships and been in the union, gosh, for probably a good 7 years or so. But the way I ended up on Dancing was during the pilot season of the first season, I was invited to come and help the makeup artist Shoshana. And actually, the way I got in was Adam Christopher, who does Lisa Rinna, referred me to fill in for him to do her for the title shoots. And so I went in there to do that, and then Shoshana ended up hiring me. And then she didn't end up taking the show, and so she referred me. And I remember thinking, and this was before it was huge, okay? And I was just like, oh, can I do this? What is this? Oh, my God, you know? And I just went in there like a powerhouse. One thing that you want to do when you interview, you know, especially for film or television, you want to go in knowing the producers. You want to go in knowing the format, and you want to be prepared, and you want to have almost not your own portfolio, but a lookbook of what you envision, what your envision of that, of what you're going to bring to the table.
Nice.
So I brought all these like different, you know, I pieced together a booklet of ballroom looks, of high couture looks, because I wanted to mix couture with ballroom and bring something special to television. So, you know, this was early 2000s, and we were coming out of the 90s, and the 90s, as far as I'm concerned, was like really boring with makeup. We're talking Spice lip pencil with like bland eyeshadows, and especially in TV, okay? And so this was like, oh, I saw this as such a platform to bring, and I did end up getting accredited this by Glamour Magazine, that I brought back the glamour to television and that I revolutionized body makeup, the body for television. And so I brought in this like vision to the producers. So, you know, when going in, you know, make sure you read the script, you know what it's about, and go in with like, you know, visuals that you're able to be like, this is the vision I would like to bring to this film, and I know that I'm going to be an asset to you.
Love that.
And so you have to be like that. beyond all that, guys, you really need to understand how to control a budget. You need to be able to say, this is how much I'm going to need to be able to produce this for you. And I'm going to need this kind of budget, and this is why, because this is how much this costs. So I even went in there because I knew they were had a small budget and said, like, this is how much, you know, lashes cost, this cost, this cost, this cost. I'm going to try to, like, hit up the cosmetic companies and try to get some, you know. So you, that's just step number one. But once I was there, you know, it was amazing. It was awesome. It was a dream for me. It really was a dream for me. I literally became Dancing with the Stars to almost a fault, actually. And, you know, I pushed my artists, I pushed the celebrities into doing something different. Because the dancers, they had been doing, like, big, you know, ballroom dancing is about being noticed on the dance floor when you're a couple amongst 100 people. So, you know,
they were used to that.
They're over the top. Their hair is black, black, white, white, red, red. And their makeup is, like, real extreme and not really blended. And then they're, like, overly tanned and super glowing. And, you know, and the whole idea to that is that they're trying to be recognized because ballroom dancing originates from hundreds of couples narrowing down, narrowing down, narrowing down. So, you know, I wanted to bring the authenticity of ballroom dancing and that look, but I wanted to make it couture and I wanted to soften it a touch. And so, you know, it was really interesting having to talk like, say, Priscilla Presley or I always blank on names and stuff, you know, but into doing bigger makeup than they're used to. Jane Seymour, like Natalie Coughlin. I'm totally blanking on names.
So many.
Susan Lucci even. So many. I worked with so many. So to be able to say to them, like, hey, you know, yes, you've been on TV in this way and you're known for this way. Let's take you out of that comfort zone. Let's, like, you know, and I had to ease them into it. But I'll tell you, usually by, like, show two or three, they were like, "We're more limestone, more lashes,
yes.
More tan,
yes.
More gleam." So then that brings me to gleam. So basically on that show, I was in a position of dealing with sunless tanning. This is something I had never dealt with in my life. I was in shock and awe of it, to tell you the truth. And this is a medium that is now very popular, but at the time I had never even heard of it. And these girls are bathing themselves. When I say these girls, I'm talking pro dancers. And so what happens when you over spray tan is your skin either turns green or gray or orange or whatever, and it's like streaky and really dry and cracked. And so I was like, we have to fix these bodies to look amazing on television. And I found myself spending tons of time with, like, a team, like, fixing their bodies. And then I'm dealing with wardrobe screaming at me because whatever product I'm using is transferring and staining, and, you know, these are one-of-a-kind made outfits out there. And that honestly was the highest pressure, and I know to a fact that this day is still the highest pressure part of that job. Yes, it's intense trying to, like, get these celebrities to, like, get outside their box, but the body makeup is a nightmare on that show. It's crazy. And so I found myself mixing some stuff up, and next thing I know, the dancers are like, oh, my God, I love this. They call, I'm gleaming. Where's the gleam? You hear it on the walkie, get the gleam to the set, like ASAP. And the wardrobe kind of chilled. I'm not going to say stop, but chilled on complaining. And next thing I know, I had celebrities and dancers driving out to my house for, like, an ounce for this or that. And that's kind of how Gleam and Melanie Mills Hollywood was born.
That's amazing. And so from there, you know, you go from that then to mass production and really building a brand, right? Like, was this just like, okay, I've got something here. I need to do this big. How did you take that and then turn this into, you know, the major brand that it is now? Because now it's expanded. You've got several products, several shades. It's expanding even more. I mean, that's like a whole other animal that you had to tackle. So was this just out of the reaction people had to it, or did you kind of almost develop like a second passion that you found for product development?
There was always like something in me that was like, God, how amazing would it be to either be a creative director of a brand or like involved somehow with like an existing amazing brand already. Or, you know, I had always had a dream of being an author, which that too I did accomplish with my book, Glitter and Glam.
I forgot to mention that. What haven't you done, Melanie?
But, you know, I just, like I said, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I mixed this mix up. People started coming. The want was there. My great-grandmother did pass and did leave me with an inheritance. And between my mom, my grandma, and I, we decided to go for it and do it. And I will be honest that I did have the pleasure of being a brand ambassador for Saint-Tropez. I actually did help them develop some of their darker shades and some of their shimmering powders and cosmetics. So I did get a taste of being a part of like a major brand and thought, man, this is cool. So I learned a lot there. But, you know, we just kind of said, oh my God, let's do this. And I literally remember telling my mom and my grandma, oh my God, so this is how much it's going to cost us. And this is how much the tube is. And, okay, so this is how much it is. And then if we sell it for this, and if we sell, like, you know, 3,000 tubes, we're going to make this. Of course, I didn't take into any account, like, marketing, advertisement, PR, all the extras that come along with it, the website, like, all the everything. And so one thing I had said even in our beautiful Beauty Boss Network event we had the other night was I did not go into this having a business plan. And that's mistake number one. Mm-hmm. And everybody should have a business plan, even if you're just a good old makeup artist. Because let's face it, everybody can get caught up going into that makeup show and spending too much based on the hype. You need to budget yourself throughout the year, and you need to really set a goal for yourself that you can, like, survive and live on. So beyond that, like, you know, we kind of jumped in and, you know, I made a ton of expensive business mistakes. I really did. And I'm thankful and blessed to still be standing. But really, honestly, I created like these four shades on the set. One of the shades I created along with Brandy Norwood specifically for her. That's my deep cold. And I did in the beginning spend way too much on PR. And, you know, honestly, it took me a while. And then in 2016, I changed the name of the brand from Glean by Melanie Mills to Melanie Mills Hollywood. And
which I love.
And
I love the packaging.
Thank you. Change the packaging. Again, all of that. More money, more money, more money. So, yeah, it's been a wild, wild ride, but here we are, and it's finally to a place where I actually, you know, hit the million mark in what we've sold. I'm not going to say that's what we've made.
Girl, well, of course, but that's still a huge milestone to hit. And I think, too, I just really want to, like, point out for our listeners that it's never too late to reinvent yourself, right? Like, you can always reinvent, you can always redefine, you can always rebrand. Don't get stuck in complacency. Like, that's one thing that I really commend you for and really admire is how you've really innovated to stay relevant in the industry and evolve to come out with new products and say, oh, you know what, this is the brand, and you know what, no, this should be the packaging. And it's been very well received, and it hasn't impacted your sales. It has, obviously. It's impacted them for the better, right? But it's not impacted your brand recognition. And I think so many of us get scared to make changes or are just scared of change in general or just going for it. And that's kind of one of the morals of this whole interview from every single thing that you've gone through in your career, from that very first opportunity to assist on a set where you didn't even know what a kit should consist of, to, you know, working on that film that then turned Union, to then being, you know, so overwhelmed with just, like, how much pressure you were in with Dancing with the Stars, but just continuing to roll with the punches and allow life to happen and go for it. And look at where you are at the $1 million mark, where so many of us only ever dream of being. So I think that that's...
I mean, with that said, you know, I still work on the set. And, yes, I will say that I love what I do. Do I want to do basically four beyond full-time jobs at the same time? No. I mean, you know, but, you know, yes, I'm in deep with the company. It's my passion. It's my drive. I love working on the set. But do I want to be carrying a kid around and dragging a kid around for, you know, until I'm 60, 65, like a lot of my friends? And as you get older, it gets harder because, let's face it, in this industry, beauty and looking good and being young. And, you know, these hours are ridiculous. That's another thing to think about with the union and getting into film and television. Typically, an average day is 12 hours. And then I can tell you I work on an average between 40 to 70 hours a week, okay? My typical day is 12 to 16 hours a day. And then I'm still running the company. So ideally one day, soon, I hope, is that the company will become my main salary and I can start to ease off the set a little bit, you know? But right now, even though I say, yes, I sold $1 million, you know, I'm going to tell you it costs just about that to maintain that, too. So I'm not necessarily making money yet, but, you know, it's close, and we're there. And you just have to really understand yourself and what you can put yourself and your family through, because my family goes through this with me. I travel constantly. My daughter, you know. You know, people go, how do you do this with your daughter? As a matter of fact, I remember some producers on Dancing with the Stars before they had their kids, way, way, way back. They're like, and this is before I even had a company. They're like, God, how do you do what you do with, like, the job and these hours and then have a child? And it's like, you know what? You just do. You just do. This is just the way it is. I mean, and, you know, and you can kind of compare makeup artists to nurses or doctors. They work this amount of hours as well, you know? You know, so... You know, you put your husbands, your boyfriends, your kids, your family. You know, it's important to have a great support group through all of this, but you really have to understand what you're getting yourself into. And one thing, you know, that I said on a panel at the makeup show over the weekend when we were talking about, like, oh, pros should have every single shade in their kit. There is nothing wrong if you are in a community and you either only do darker people, lighter people, Latin people, Jewish, you know, culture, whatever it is. If that's the community and culture that you've gotten yourself into and you're making a living and making money, look, I have everything in the world in my makeup room, okay? But am I going to drag that all to every single job? No. I'm going to find out what that job is about. I'm going to drag what I need to. Now, in my industry, I do have to be prepared for, like, whatever skin tone may come across. But there is nothing wrong with also just being, you know, the community makeup artist. I have good friends that are perfectly happy and want nothing to do with the union, don't want to get into having to pay dues, because when I say you have to pay $6,000, that's initial. Then you have to pay $200 to $300 every quarter. So, you know, you really have to understand your dream, your want, your desire, and what all of that entails. And don't feel unaccomplished by being the best makeup artist in your town.
I definitely.
That everybody's hiring for.
I love.
You know.
That. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like to call it just being rich in your niche, like knowing what your niche is, and just be super, super rich in that, and stop trying to accommodate everybody else. Like, zone in on what your area of genius is, and, like, unapologetically go at that full force, because that is gold right there. So I love that advice. I think that's really cool. So tell me, as we kind of wrap up this interview, like, what would be your number one inspirational advice you would give to somebody that was trying to trace your footsteps?
Don't give up. Put yourself together, okay? Be together, okay? Get out there and network to high freaking hell. Like, literally. Go wherever you can, whether it's MAC, putting together a class or an event in your local neighborhood, the local Nordstrom's or Dillard's or whatever store it may be that might have Laura Mercier, Bobby Brady, whoever it may be that's, like, throwing an event. I'm going to tell you, like, networking. Meet, shake hands. I am going to say that it is important to assist, you know, you will need to start off by working free a little bit. There are some artists that get paid right off the bat assisting, and that's awesome. I myself work for free forever. And then when I talk about like working on those shows with my friends for, you know, we used to do 70-hour weeks, I was making $150 for 14 hours, okay? Wow. And then I would get a little overtime. Wow. So, you know, and I did that for years. Now, also, don't undersell yourself, okay? Like, a recent artist reached out to me on Instagram, who I love her work. I'm constantly liking it. And she asked me what she should charge. And I was shocked by how much she's charging. You know, people need to understand that we are spending a fortune on a kit, okay? Like, yes, of course we can get by with some, like, drugstore stuff, but in reality we're all going to need a little pro stuff, and that stuff is expensive. I know you have to keep yourself in a range for your community, but at the same rate, don't completely undersell yourself and stand by what you choose to sell yourself at, even though you may get turned down here and there.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for being our guest on this week's Beauty Boss podcast. You are the living definition of the beauty boss, and I admire you so much. I know all of our listeners do too. Thank you, Melanie, for your time tonight.
Thank you, Brianna. You're amazing, and I'm really excited about what you have going. I truly think everybody out there that is interested in joining your group should really consider it. You're an amazing, inspirational person yourself, and I love what you put together and do.
You're
professional, and I just, you know, congrats and kudos to you as well.
Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate you. You're amazing. Go. I know you like to enjoy those evenings. That's your meditation time. So enjoy your night. I'm cheersing wine glasses with you from Dallas, Texas. And literally, cheers. And
cheers, Mama.
Until we meet again, thank you so much for pouring into us all of your knowledge and inspiration. I appreciate you. And we'll talk soon.
Okay, baby. Bye, beauty bossers. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
OMG, he's a boss. Beauty Boss Network. Come on, slay, boss.
This episode is brought to you by Must Have, more than makeup. My must-have of the week is my mood therapy mask. Boost your mood with a must-have face mask. Check it out on their Instagram account at must-have_USA. That's at MUSTAEV_USA.
This is the EWN Podcast Network.